This is Alternate Reality, episode 407, Comics and More.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned. You're so special. But I'm a creep. I'm a
widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't care for you. I wanna have control.
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
And I'm Pro.
And we're here every week, at least we try to be, to talk to you about all the things going on in the world of comics and comic-related media, whether they be movies, video games, TV shows, what have you, to let you know what we think about them and probably what you should think about them. And, give you our two cents worth. You can make up your own mind after the fact. Quit showing me that. Charlie's showing me his fake or He-Man figure on his phone, which is cool.
It's not mine.
Well, no, I mean, he's showing it to me on his phone.
It's one of those mega constructs like they got at Walmart.
Oh, we have a question from the gallery. So Francis wants to know, so is Charlie in the room with you, Why isn't he ever on camera? Well, to answer that question.
We're not famous enough to me to be on camera. Thank you very much.
Charlie is in the room. He's sitting right there across from me. Boom, right there. I mean, he's 5-6 feet from me. But Charlie,
you could see me if we had a better camera set up, not a phone set up.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think Charlie is camera shy.
I'm not camera shy.
Okay.
I've been on camera several times.
All right. Well, you know what?
Unbeknownst to me, but...
And when it's live, when it's Memorex, he doesn't tend to like it. So that's what I've noticed. What he'll admit to is another story. So, he's asked me not to film him. So I'm being respectful. Now, he has said something to the fact of if we ever got to the place where we had like hundreds of Patreon members and people watching us on YouTube and he had a dedicated YouTube channel that was making money, then he would, comb his hair, put on a nice shirt, and actually be in front of the camera. But until then, he doesn't see the need for all that.
Yeah, I'm a slob.
I didn't say that. Didn't say that.
Well, did I say that I was being upset about it? No, I'm saying that as a fact. I'm a slob.
So, so.
No one wants to see my zip face anyway.
Yeah, so that's,
See, even you agree.
Charlie and I, truthfully, both have a face for radio. Which is why podcasting is our first love. But if there was enough money in it, then we would absolutely consider crossing the divide into the world of video and YouTube channels and things like that.
Well, the thing is, our pictures are on Facebook and Twitter anyway, so.
Yeah, you can, if you're interested enough, you can figure out what we look like. I don't know why you would want to know. So.
I look exactly like my comic book
picture. Yes, Charlie's profile picture is the naked. David Nakayama. See, I was trying to say David and Nakayama, and I got naked. David Nakayama version of himself from the Big Hero 6 comic that we were in. So,
maybe that's David's nickname, Naked Dave.
Naked Dave! If that's his nickname, it's probably for other reasons. So how are you, Charlie?
I'm fine.
He's fine. I'm fine. We had a good time last week being back after our extended leave of absence due to my hospital stay. I'm still feeling well, and we're pressing on with a second consecutive episode now. And we've got a lot of comics to talk about tonight. and talk to you about and fill you in on the stuff going on that we're reading and that we're liking. Also, a lot of stuff going on right now on the small and coming up soon on the big screen. There's like three major TV shows out right now that I'm trying to watch. And not all at the same time. I'm trying to get through one and then the other and then the other.
Yeah, The Voice and World of Dance came on this last week.
That's got nothing to do with comics. Although you have been watching The Masked Singer, and I see that you are getting much enjoyment out of your near-perfect track record of guessing who these people are.
Yeah, the only one I didn't know was Margaret Cho, but I'm not too familiar with her background. I pretty much guessed every single one.
Charlie should be on the show.
Well, it's not me to guess who these people are. It's not like they'll tell me if I'm right anyway. That's not how that works.
So Francis replies, Charlie's face can be a Patreon goal. I've been listening to you guys for the last 10 years, and I've never seen him. You got to be $20 member to get to get Charlie's picture. We'll send you a picture.
No, we won't be sending pictures out. Definitely not.
I will send you one in the mail.
Nope.
An actual physical picture of Charlie.
Nope.
What he don't know won't hurt him. All right.
Like I said, there are pictures of me out in the wild. None that I've given permission to, but they're
not authorized, but they exist. So it's kind of like those pictures of certain actresses from our movies in their early days that they're not proud of. You know what I'm saying? And so if you search hard enough, you can find them. So, all right. So let's take a quick break and get back into today's episode, and we'll talk about all the comics that me and Charlie have been reading. Alternate reality, better than 80% of the podcast on the internet. We'll be back in just a moment.
Ooh, baby. Come to Butthead.
Welcome back to Alternate Reality, where sports are dumb, comics are king, and the Absolute Edition has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We thank you for being back with us, and we want to remind you that Alternate Reality is user-sponsored, listener-sponsored podcast. And if you want to do that, you can head over to the Patreon. We have got a couple Patreon members, Charlie, that we want to brag on. We said that in our, when you subscribe to Patreon, this is part of the incentive, is that we mention you on the air. And so we want to just say a quick thank you to both Nuggie99, John Wimmer. He goes by Nuggie99 on the Twitter. And we want to thank you to, a big thank you to Francis Chavando. I got to say it like that, Chavando, who is our latest Patreon subscriber. And so because of guys like these, we can do what we do and keep the lights on around here. And if you want to join their ranks and become a Patreon subscriber to the Alternate Reality Podcast, head over to patreon.com/alternate reality, and you can join you can subscribe over there on three different levels. You can do the $3 level, the $10 level, or the $20 level, whatever's comfortable for you, and support us. That helps us, and that ultimately, as a listener, helps you. So head over there and do that for us. We would appreciate it. All right, Charlie, you had the first book this week, Sideways number 13, ending this month, so make the most of it while you got it.
Yeah, this is a series that has been was co-created by Dan Didio and I don't remember his name. Rocafort
is Kenneth Rocafort.
Kenneth Rocafort, yeah, right. Rocafort.
I like him.
Yeah,
he's still on the art on it.
Yeah,
okay.
He does the art, and he
had a run on Action Comics a couple of years ago that I thought was great.
But this is the last issue of the episode. Last issue of this series.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those new age of heroes things. It was kind of like a Spider-Man thing,
right?
But like his power was he could like make little like teleportation things. He could like teleport
spot to spot
by opening what he called a rift.
Right. So kind of like Nightcrawler.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
The costume's kind of reminiscent of very dark blue and.
So it's like a cross between Spider-Man and Nightcrawler. Yeah. That I can see that. Okay.
Well, the issue starts out where one of the characters named Unaut is talking to this female character, and she's talking about, like, well, he's not the same boy I knew and that I took out of, like, another rift. So you're like, what are you talking about? Like, what's she even, like, meaning? She's like, oh, this is not the boy that I knew, whatever. So he comes home, and he has just recently found out that his actual mom came in because he was adopted when he was a young
child.
And his mother, his biological mother, has just come in where his foster mom had been killed recently.
Right.
And his father introduces him to his biological mom. And she speaks Spanish a lot. And they don't really have a rapport because, you know, and like he even like says like, oh, that's not my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom died like about a week ago or whatever. Well, it turns out like this detective comes in. He's been like investigating his mom's murder.
Right.
And he says, do you know who this woman is? And she's like an interest in the character. So he knows who it is, but he doesn't tell the detective. He goes out to search for her, and she's driving down the road, and he riffs to her, and he's like, what happened that day when my mom died? Because she was there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she basically says that that she killed her mom.
Okay.
For a reason. And she goes, oh, I know you're not going to do anything to me because you're not that kind of a person. And he opens up a rift and it goes to black. And I think it's kind of weird because he does that because, like, it doesn't show any, like, where she goes or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So then it comes back and he transports and he talks to his girlfriend, who's been his longtime thing. And then, like, he texts his mom and it, like, like from where, like, he had ignored her text that day. Like, he thought he could stop, like, her from dying or anything.
Right.
But she, like, left him all these text messages that day, like, wondering where he was at or whatever. And he replies to her. He goes, I love you, Mom. And then, like a couple seconds later, he gets a text which goes, I love you too, son, or something like that. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Because it doesn't show him doing anything with the woman who killed her, just opening up a rift,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a bad thing. And then, like, he gets this text. So it's like, this is the last issue, so I don't know, like, why are they
doing it? So it kind of leaves it open-ended?
Leaves it open-ended a lot.
Right.
That's my biggest problem. If they knew this was going to be the last issue,
they should have given you some closure.
Yeah.
Because there's a good chance with this being, you know, an experimental character that we may not see this character
anymore. Yeah. And I kind of doubt we will.
Yeah.
With DC cutting back books like 15%.
Something like that. Yeah. So it was a good series overall. You enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But they kind of left it, you know, on a cliffhanger that you would have liked a little more resolution.
I mean, he met like the new 52 Superman in the annual, which was weird. Because the new 52 Superman supposedly died or whatever. And
That's not right. Okay.
This is a Dan Didio book. What do you want?
Yeah, all right. So I was like, I really like this book except for the writing.
No, it's all right. It's fine. The writing was fine.
Maybe it was the co-plotting that was the problem. I don't know. That brings us to the next book of the evening. I want to talk about Savage Sword of Conan number 2. You know, Jason Aaron came out, because Jason Aaron's one of my favorite writers. I've said that a number of times. And he's writing the other Conan book, just titled Conan the Barbarian. And so I remember a while back, Jason Aaron was writing a Doctor Strange book. It was pretty good. And there was another Doctor Strange book out at the same time called Doctor Strange and the
Conjurers.
It was something like that, or the Sorcerers.
Yeah, the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, and so it was this idea that he was teaming up with other Sorcerer Supremes from previous history.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that might be all right. It wasn't Jason Aaron, so the writing wasn't nearly as good, and I looked at it for an issue and said that wasn't nothing I was interested in.
I enjoyed the series, but they meant it to be an ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
But it, like, you could tell, like, they really had no point in what they were doing.
Right.
So it just ended after issue 12.
So sometimes what companies like Marvel or whoever Jason's writing for will do is they got a hot property with a hot writer, and they'll try to springboard off that and put out other stuff around it that is related to it, but not that property from that writer, right?
Well, I think they're banking on the fact that they own the property name, too, of Savage Sword of Conan.
Right. And so that's got a lot of history and a lot of nostalgia because that was a big history book, you know, big book over the course of Marvel Comics. So I was like, well, I was worried about it when I started reading this, the issue one and now issue two, because I said, well, it's not Jason Aaron, so there's a chance it's going to suck.
That's written by Jerry Duggan, right?
Yeah. Yes. And so I am happy to report that as of two issues in, this has been very good. But Conan is one of those characters for me that's really easy to like. I don't think you'd have to write a very good story for Conan for me to enjoy the heck out of it. All right. This is probably evidenced by the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, which I love. Okay. They don't have to be particularly good. Not to say that the Schwarzenegger movies are not good. If you're longtime fans, me too. But I'm just saying, script-wise, you know, they fall down in a few places, and you know they do. And so, but I love Conan, the character, enough that I don't care. And so here, I'm in the same place with this one. This, not that this is bad, I'm just saying it wouldn't have to be great anyway. So the gist of this, you know, first and second issue of this is that Conan's one of those characters that it wouldn't matter what circumstance he was in, he comes out on top. All right, so Conan could be facing 1,000 warriors armed to the teeth and with nothing but chains and shackles, you know, on himself, bound behind his back, tied down to some kind of stone with no hope of escape, and all these warriors charging at him. And somehow, he would not only free himself, but he would kill all the other 1,000 warriors before the thing was done. I mean, that's just the kind of character he is. He comes out of, like, impossible situations, and he's so resilient and so resourceful and so battle-hardened and so ready to fight that he always wins. And so in the first issue, we see Conan getting shipwrecked and getting picked up by a slaver ship and actually being cast into slavery. But he was so weak from being at sea in the water that they were able to capture him. And he's nursed back to health by another slave whose name is Sutty, S-U-T-Y, which is an odd name. And when they get close to land and Conan gets his, you know, feeling better, he rebels and he breaks the chains and he, you know, wages a rebellion right there on the ship and is able to, like, kill the captain, which for whatever reason belonged to some kind of snake cult, because snakes is a recurring theme in Conan stories for some reason. And he kills this captain who's some kind of member of a snake cult and takes this ornate box that's supposed to have some kind of treasure in it. And he escapes with this other guy who nursed him back to health, and because they're shackled together. And so they end up walking through what looks like a burnt-out forest, and they open the box. And the box has got nothing but sand in it. So they think, this was no kind of treasure. This was stupid. And Conan pours the sand out in his hand and lets it run through his fingers, when somehow, mysteriously, a treasure map is implanted in Conan's mind. He can see it. In his mind's eye, and it's fixed there, so he won't forget it. And so that's apparently the gift of the box, is that you know now this secret map, this location of this treasure. So he's on his way to find it, because, you know, Conan's all about three things: fighting, women, and treasure, because he's a thief by trade. Okay?
He's a thief by trade.
Well, I mean, he's a thief. That's what he is. Before he becomes a king eventually, he's a thief. And so he thieves and he steals and he, you know, that's what he does. He's lowlife. And so they're walking through this burnt out forest. And at some point, Conan goes, well, these are not burnt trees. And if you look closer, you'll see they're actually impaled bodies on stakes.
And he's a forensic scientist.
and
before anything else,
they're, yeah, CSI, Hyrule. And, Conan, you know, these bodies, there's like some kind of giant war here, and Vlad the Impaler or somebody was here and impaled all these bodies on these stakes, but on top of each other. So it looked like a tall tree from a distance. And so
I don't know how good the stacking of bodies is. I'm pretty sure you could tell a tree from a body.
Well, it was like
even from a long way away.
Well, but see, there, it was really ashy and smoky, because that's why they thought it was burnt out. And so the bad guys show up and amongst all these burning corpses, and they meet these other snake men, and they's like, well, we ate the other guys that were here, and now we're going to eat you. And so Conan basically reaches over and grabs an axe from one of the corpses, cuts the shackles off his legs, and kills these guys. I mean, Conan, when they said they're going to eat him, he just laughs, like, ha, ha, ha. You know, just like, I don't care what you say, I'm going to kill you now. And he does. And he ends up, before he takes the axe, he grabs one of the feet of one of the corpses, and he's beating the guy with this foot. It's Conan could kill anybody with anything. And so it's pretty cool. And so they kill these guys, and they manage to cut their shackles off, and they're walking on to the town. Well, they get to the town, and again, here's the snakes. You know, it's obviously there's like a lot of snake things going on in this book. And they get to this city, and they're looking for a library, because Conan's like, this is the city where that belongs to the map, but none of the landmarks are the same. It doesn't look right. So what they figure out is that it's a city on top of a city that's been built on the ashes of another city. So they need to find a record of the original city and overlay the two with the city now, so that Conan's map makes sense that he's got in his head. And they go to some kind of librarian, and this is a warrior woman that, you know, like runs this library. I don't know. It's weird that she's the librarian, but she looks like she's ready for war. And she's telling Conan he can't have the books, but Conan talks her into it eventually because he wants to overthrow the snake cult. And she's like, oh, well, I'm in favor of that too. So they start to look at the books when suddenly the snake cult guards come to the door and they take her and they leave with her. And that's where the issue ends. And so it's like, I'm digging this. I'm enjoying this. This is a lot of fun. The artwork's great. The story plotting is good. It's you know, it's a Conan book, and you know, I would read it even if it wasn't all that good. Same way I would read a Red Sonja book if it wasn't all that good. But this is actually really good, I think.
Like you'd read Superman if it's
all that. Well, I probably would, but you just have to know that about me. So I think Savage Sword of Conan is a worthy title. And if you like sword and sorcery and fantasy, then you should try it out. All right, Charlie. Heroes in Crisis, our big DC book, was out this past week. Yes. So you, what do you think of this?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I think there's a big red herring in this issue.
Okay.
Like, most of this book takes place, this issue takes place like seconds before the alarm goes off.
Right.
Like mere seconds, like everyone, like Harley's with Poison Ivy, Booster's just hanging out, Wally's in that simulator thing.
Right.
And they all get the alarm, and Narc is just spouting poetry throughout the whole issue.
What's this guy from? I don't know him from
anything. He's a Teen Titan.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a Narc the Cave Boy or something.
I don't ever remember reading him ever.
Yeah, I think he was an earlier, like, whatever. Well, all these bodies start showing up, and Wally just, like, finds Arsenal, and he's like, oh, I don't know, I just wanted us to be together, you know, like his kids and whatever.
Right, like when we were on Titan.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, there's this big zap, and Booster's there, and it looks like he's obviously killed Wally.
Mm-hmm.
And then him and Harley, like, start their confrontation from the first issue. And I'm like, why is Booster killing Wally when he's investigating the murder at the same time?
Well, he's not investigating the murder until after the murders.
But that's what I'm saying.
Was Booster there as a patient? Was he?
Well, yeah, I think he was.
Okay. So that's why he was there. So the question then is, why did he go off and kill Wally? If he did, if that's what...
But that's what I'm saying. If he did, and if he did, why is he investigating it later?
Well, because he doesn't think...
Because he's the one who thinks Harley did it.
Yeah, he clearly doesn't... Okay, so what we seem to have is two different perspectives from two different people. We've got Harley Quinn, who very clearly remembers the course of events that Booster Gold kills all these people.
Uh-huh.
And Booster clearly remembers a course of events where Harley kills all these people. It's entirely possible that neither of them are accurate. And so,
but that's what I'm saying. These two would have different perspectives.
Right.
But she didn't see Booster kill anybody.
Wasn't she standing in the doorway when he killed Wally?
No, I think she walks in or something. I'm pretty sure she walks in.
Yeah, she walks in after the fact.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So okay. She wouldn't have saw that. But we see it as the reader.
Here's another interesting thing. Why is Harley there? She was not there as a patient.
No, she was there to just hang out with Poison Ivy.
But she shouldn't have known anything about it. It's a highly secret location. If Poison Ivy went there, she wouldn't have, I don't think she would have told Harley before she left, hey, this is where I'm going. This is where
I think what they're trying to say is Harley Quinn is so intuitive and smart that.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Because that's why in the second or third issue where she fights the Trinity and almost beats them.
Yeah, see, something's off.
And that's Harley. When they say, oh, yeah, when she wants to, she could be better than us.
So there's a lot of things that are kind of mismatch and don't make any sense.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like the red herring has to be Booster killing Wally.
I mean, there are several things out here in left field that we don't know anything about. Like where's Skeets? Skeets doesn't appear to be here at this time. Where is Skeets at? Skeets works for Bane if you read Batman.
Yeah.
So what? That's bound to play into this somehow.
And that was someone's theory that maybe it's Skeets' influence because Skeets has the power to influence people now that he's working for Bane. And I was like, well, I don't know.
And there's clearly some timeline problems here.
But that's what
because at some point when an issue or so ago, when Barry is investigating Wally's death, he says that the time of death, according to the forensics, is 4 days from now.
No, that was Booster.
Was that Booster?
No, that's what I'm
saying. Barry found it and Booster overheard him or something.
Right? No. It was okay. Booster.
Okay.
It was Booster and Blue Beetle.
So,
it's like I said, those two didn't have any interaction in this universe
prior to this,
before that issue.
Right. Well, I always said that I thought Booster was one of those characters that remembers the previous universe. I think he does, or has got.
But either way, Blue Beetle's not even Blue Beetle.
What?
Blue Beetle is just Ted Kord, scientist guy.
So he's not a costumed hero.
He's not a costumed hero.
So is Booster just having hallucinations?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know what's going on in this issue.
It's kind of hard to latch on to anything in a book where everything is like a dream. Yeah, everything's like a dream. You don't know what's real and what's not real. Yeah. So we're, what, this is six issues?
Yeah, we got three more to go.
Three more issues. Yeah, we're two-thirds of the way through this book. And we're all scratching our head without a clue what's really going on. I mean, if they want to give us a line and have us follow that line and then change it at the end, that's fine. But don't have your line do squiggly squirgly all the way around the whole time where you never know if you're coming or going.
Well, like I said, I thought it was bad like when the before the first issue came out that Tom King wrote said, yeah, someone already figured out who the killer was. Just by the promo image. And I'm like, really? By the promo image, they already figured out who your killer was?
Right. Well, so.
I mean, that's kind of sad if you're writing a mystery that someone picks apart your whole thing. And then what? Are you scrambling to change it now?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Tom King is kind of hit or miss for me. Like, Mr. Miracle was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other things I've read has not been, and I don't know where I'm on with this. It's like I want to not read it, I guess, but now it's just like I'm six into it.
Yeah, so you might as well finish it. Yeah,
I don't know. What I hate is the Tom King apologizers on Twitter and Facebook. Like anytime someone says anything bad about it, they're all on there going, well, you don't understand what Tom King's doing. Like, Tom King's doing this. Why?
Right. But if I'm reading his story and I don't understand what he's doing, that's a problem. I should be able to follow the narrative.
Well, I follow the narrative, but what I'm saying is it's
No, it's really hard.
It's doing things that, like, It shouldn't, I don't think.
And what's what I'm saying is really hard to follow the narrative. You don't know who's right, who's wrong, who's told the truth, who's lying. You don't have any clear idea of what actually happened.
I mean, it's like solving a math problem when you only have like one number. You know, it's how do you figure out the equation?
I mean, you take a traditional murder mystery, Sherlock Holmes or anything like that. You kind of present it with the same set of problems. You've got clues. You're trying to follow up. They present different scenarios. You're trying to suss out which one's right. But you have a grounded character. You have Holmes.
Yeah.
And Holmes is your guide through this thing. And
yeah, we don't have that.
We don't have that.
Because Harley is theoretically insane and Booster. We don't.
So we're just left grasping at straws. We don't have any. There's no anchor in this story.
Yeah, that's my problem with it.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Next issue.
Doomsday Clock coming out this week.
Yay.
Issue 9 of 12.
That may be done this time next year. Maybe. I don't know. It's a little slow. Action Comics number 1008. This is a story kind of about Jimmy Olsen, but not really. It's more about a bad guy.
I hear they're doing like a series with him, a mini series with Jimmy Olsen. You gonna get that?
I have not seen a solicitation for that, so I don't know. I might, but it's less about Jimmy, even though Jimmy's involved, and more about this Jimmy. The rise of either an organization or a bad guy called the Leviathan. We don't know. I think it's an organization. And so there's several coordinated hits.
Leviathan sounds like Hydra cut off one head.
A little bit. So there's several coordinated hits that happened in this book. You see the Mr. Bones guy?
Yeah.
He's at the DEO. While they're there and he's talking to Adam Strange about something, there's like this blue energy wave that goes off and destroys the building. Adam Strange has to fly out with a handful of people, including Mr. Bones. To save them.
Mr. Bones.
Mr. Bones. Mr. Bones. What would you do, Mr. Bones? How are you doing, Mr. Bones? Rattling.
Mr. Bones is rattling.
Ha ha. That's a good one. That's from White Christmas with Bing Crosby, if you don't get the reference. And that's way off topic.
See? I told you it was more.
There's another scene where there's a movie theater, and the only people in the movie theater are Amanda Waller and Sam Lane. And they're like saying, well, I'm ready to talk. What did you want? And she was like, well, you called me here. No, you called me here. Sam Lane goes, oh, my God, it's a trap. And as they run out, the place similarly blows up. And amongst of all this, so there's like, you know, it's almost like coordinated 9/11 style, you know, hits going on in different places. Lois Lane's back at the Daily Planet because Lois Lane's been gone a while. And so all the Gotham columnists are all like, you know, the Gotham columnist and Steve Lombard and all these other people are whispering in hushed tones about what's going on with Clark and Lois. They don't look like they're on good terms and this and that and something else. It's all a bunch of crap. They're fine. They just trying to spread rumors and stuff. They go into into Lois's office and Jimmy's under the table. And Jimmy's like, I don't know who I can trust. He said, because I ran into this cult organization called Cobra and they wanted to recruit me. And so they're trying to get the gist of that and figure out what's going on.
With the metal head.
No, that wrong Cobra.
Woman in black leather. I don't know.
And he said, we were there, and then the cult was destroyed. It was wiped out.
They were like, Jimmy Olsen wants a man.
And he said, and Clark goes, what do you mean wiped out? And he goes, by this big blob of light and energy. And he goes, a blue blob of light kind of looked like a jellyfish. And Jimmy Olsen goes, yeah, which is what all the other attacks have looked like.
Was it the absorbing man from the Ang Lee Hulk movie?
No, I hope not. And so Jimmy's like not slept in 2 days. He's freaking out. So Clark tells him to go home and get some rest. They're going to look into it. So not only did they take out a government organization called the DEO, not only did they try to kill Amanda Waller and Sam Lane, two high-ranking government officials, but in addition to that, they tried to wipe out a rival criminal organization called Cobra. So you're left to think at some point that Sam Lane may be getting ready to die. So that would be bad. And then we get to the end of the book, and they open the door, and there's a knock in at Superman and Lois's door, and he opens the door, and it's Amanda Waller, and she goes, Superman, I'm good, because apparently she knows who Clark Kent is. It's finally happened. All bets are off. It's Leviathan. Leviathan is taking us all out.
That's Amanda Waller?
Yeah, she's a little skinnier now than she was.
No, when I saw that, I thought that was a dude.
Yeah, well, maybe she's got a trench coat, so she looks more manly. But it says next, the question and answer, and it's obviously a reference to the question character. So he'll be in the next issue. So Action Comics is actually pretty good. Maybe
a fighting little through the night comes the fearful cry of Cobra.
Well, Cobra's defeated by G.I. Joe. So, you know, it's actually pretty good. Maybe just a touch better than the actual Superman comic where he's fighting this Rogar Zol thing.
Is he still doing that?
Well, he's trapped in the Phantom Zone right now with Zod, and they're locked in perpetual battle. And Superman was going to go in there to split it up, but he can't because there's like a lot of emergencies going on. There's an earthquake and there's this and that. So he's like, well, I'll have to do it later.
Well, you two will have to settle your hash out your own
dispute. Yeah, you all figure it out. I'll be back. So
they'll probably team up together, and then they'll add like Darkseid and the two other people, and they'll become the new, was it the Superman Death Squad or whatever they used to call that thing?
Could be. I don't know. All right, Charlie, that brings us to your last book of the evening, Superior Spider-Man number 3.
Oh, that's funny. I just noticed it's got a legacy number.
Oh, does it?
Which I guess is funny because I don't know how that works out. Because when Amazing Spider-Man became Superior Spider-Man, were they counting Amazing Spider-Man as continuing?
I don't know. What's the legacy number on it?
Like 36?
Oh, well, then it couldn't be.
Yeah, 36.
Because if it was Amazing Spider-Man, it would have to be in the 700s or something.
No, like that. But what I'm saying is, are they counting this as continuing the run from Amazing Spider-Man and continuing Amazing Spider-Man's numbering?
I don't know.
Because when they brought Amazing Spider-Man back, it was Amazing Spider-Man number 1.
So this is 36 issues from that, you're saying?
No. I'm saying, are they using the same number for both books?
Surely not.
I think they are.
Because the Amazing Spider-Man.
Because Amazing Spider-Man is like 804. What I'm saying is, I think they counted Superior Spider-Man as that, but neither here nor there. I just noticed it. I thought it was funny.
810.
Dr. Octopus is fighting Terrax in this, and he doesn't know how to fight him. He's like, he doesn't have any preparations. He's just fighting him on his own. He's getting his butt kicked because it's Terrax. He's an acolyte of Galactus.
Right. So, that's not the word. A herald?
Yeah, a herald. An acolyte. It's the same thing. But like in the last issue, he found a way to siphon off that power. So maybe he could become, you know, Terrax's like equal, so he could fight him and beat him. And they're all in Los Angeles, which is weird anyway.
Right.
Because new story, new Spider-Man, got to go to a new city. Living it up with the X-Men, I guess.
Okay.
Or are they back in New York? I can't remember.
I don't keep up with them.
But the thing is, with the power that he's got, the cosmic power that he's stolen off of Terrax is like, what do you think you can do? You think you can beat me? I've had this power my whole
You can't existence. Beat me.
Like, you may be smarter than me, but you've never had this power for as long as I have had this.
So it'd be like somebody picking up a sword for the first time. You don't know how to wield that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And saying you're the best swordsman in the world.
Right.
So basically they kind of fight to a draw. Well, they leave it up to Anna Marie to figure out a way to... Anna Marie, like, has some little sympathy left for Doc Ock.
Is this his girlfriend that's a small person?
Yeah, she's a little person.
Right.
But it's not as, they're not girlfriend, and they're not boyfriend-girlfriend.
Oh, but he still likes her, right?
Yes.
Okay, but they're not currently seeing each other, okay.
Well, no, because she...
Well, she found out who he was, and that he lied to her. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's kind of basically stalking her because he like changed it, like he dyed his hair and like changed his last name.
She'll never recognize me.
Yeah. And well, she figured it out like in the first issue because he said something that he said when he was in Peter's body.
Right.
which is weird because he's technically still in Peter's body, but he's in a cloned version of Peter's body.
So does he look like Peter?
Yeah, except he's got different hair.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's got black hair.
So that's a new Peter clone.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we got Spider-Man, we got Scarlet Spider.
No, he's dead.
Oh, really? He's dead?
Yeah, he died in the last issue of that book.
Okay.
Because he died during the whole, clone thing. No, not the clone
thing. Oh, the Spider-Verse thing.
Yeah, he died in that.
Right.
Spider-Geddon.
Yeah, Spider-Geddon.
He died.
Do we still have Kane?
Yeah, Kane. I think he made it out of that. I'm not sure.
And so now we've got...
But I know Spider's dead. But Kane had his original body.
Right. But it's still a clone, isn't it?
Well, an older clone of the
original. So he's a Peter clone that doesn't look like fresh Peter. He looks like old Peter.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like when Scarlet Spider, who was...
Ben Reilly.
No, he was the Jackal.
Oh, right.
During that whole clone conspiracy storyline, he cloned a new body for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doc Ock got onto that body.
Right.
And Scarlet Spider was infected with like some virus thing, like some clone degenerative disease, because he made a deal with Mephisto, but like he knew he was going to hell.
Mephisto. Again with the Mephisto.
But anyway, he's dead now. It doesn't really matter. So there's technically one person with a younger Peter Parker body, and then there's Kane, I think. I think he's still alive.
So those are the only two that we know of.
Plus Peter.
Not counting any extra-dimensional Peters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, Anna Marie starts to feel bad for him, right? So she figures out a way that she can start to drain Terrax of his power.
Okay.
But she doesn't really know how to like run all the calculations, and she calls Doc Ock, and she's like, look, I'll help you with this just because you're doing something good, but I want you to know you're on a short leash with me, right?
Right. Don't push me.
Yeah. So Doc does something, and he basically kind of like performs a feedback loop on Terrax.
Okay.
And Terrax gets knocked out. Well, in that battle or whatever, Doc Ock loses consciousness, and he wakes up in a hospital bed. And he wakes up, and he's like, well, what's going on? And Anna Marie goes, Alpha Flight showed up after your fight. And Alpha Flight now is not the Canadian superhero team.
Mm-hmm.
They're now the space super team.
Right. They monitor from a satellite in space.
Which is supposedly led by Captain Marvel, I think.
Yeah, Captain Marvel's leader then.
And she said they showed up. They got all this stuff. And like he used a cosmic chassis or something like chassis. I think that's what it was called. But it's like this big gold thing that like helped him like do the feedback loop.
Right.
That she created, and he's like, well, what happened to that? Because that drained his power and my power at the same time. And she's like, well, Alpha Flight took that too. He's like, oh, that's good, that's great. And she's like, just know this, like, I'll let you stay here, but now I'm like, the first minute you screw up is the minute I like call the cops or whatever.
I'm the captain now.
So you get the fact that like they're going to set it up like he'll just do all this like stuff to like fight, you know,
win her back.
But it's like there's a side thing after that, after this, where like she walks away into another room and the cosmic chassis is right there.
Oh, so she kept it?
And she's like, I'm waiting for you to slip up one time and then you're going to regret ever messing with me. I was like, ooh, that's a little dark. But I was like, good on her because he's stalking her.
Right. And he is Dr. Octopus. Yeah. Let's not forget that. Yeah.
So. I just find it funny that like he like all like the times that Doc Ock's been alive and he's had like girlfriends or whatever, like during like the 90s and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I know at one point he married Aunt May.
Yes.
Like during old time Spider-Man stuff. But like during the 90s, like he had like these women who are like insanely like from drawing point of view, the art point of view, like they were insanely hot.
Right.
And now it's just like he's I guess he's met up with his real love now. And he thinks that they're meant to be together.
Oh, now all that other stuff is just superficial. This is pure love.
But I'm just saying it's weird because it's just like everyone.
Even evil scientists can fall in love, Charlie.
I mean, I'm not saying it's weird because she's a little person. I'm just saying it's weird that like.
Charlie trying to be politically correct now.
No, I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm just.
I was like, I am politically correct.
I'm explaining my point. The fact that like he's just now falling in love when
so this
other
is,
points in time.
So
he said he was in love or whatever.
Right. So everything's been a ruse with Doc Ock in the past.
Yeah.
This now he's actually have feelings for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can put it down to this. Probably better writers now. You know, okay. You write a story about Doc Ock marrying Aunt May.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that's a they'd be done today.
It depends. If you got a younger Aunt May like Marissa Tomei, then you could get away with it. If you've got elderly Aunt May that needs a hip replacement, that's you probably don't do that story.
But what I'm saying is it's just odd to me. It's just like really. Well, I'm just saying it's just weird. Like they're like I said, this whole like storyline, this whole book is the redeem Doc Ock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he should never be redeemed. He should be Dr. Octopus, make him bad. Make
well, they do this from time to time. Now, the question is,
how long will this last?
How long will it last? At some point, I mean, they could go either way. They could, you know, there are some characters that have turned from bad to good. And
well, I mean, Marvel's done that famously over the year. Almost every one of their major heroes today.
Mm-hmm.
A good lot of them were criminals.
Right.
Hawkeye.
A bunch of the X-Men.
Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emma Frost.
Right.
I don't know. It's just
even back in the day, you know, Gambit was a thief and, you know, Rogue was a drifter and things like that. You know.
Yeah. Rogue was part of the Brotherhood. Well, so was Scarlet Witch and
right.
Quicksilver, too. But it's like I never grew up with them like that, though. I've always had like, yes, Spider-Man's main nemesis is Doc Ock.
The Goblin.
Today, Spider-Man faces Doc Ock.
In so you grew up in the 80s with Stan Lee narrating things, so you knew exactly what was going on. He also had two amazing friends, Iceman and Firestar. So, and the greatest spider friend of all, Miss Lion, the little dog. So, yeah, that was a golden age to be. Uh-oh, John Wimmer is on watching us. Hello, Nuggy99. We mentioned you earlier. You missed that. So, sorry about that. Sorry
yeah, John about that. Said you don't watch us live.
I said, Nuggy never comes in and watches us live. He doesn't love us that way. And here you are.
Speaking. He loves us another way.
Did I say his name three times? I may have said his name three times, and he appeared. I'm not sure how that went.
I'm pretty sure we mentioned him several times. I don't know.
All right, last book of the night.
I had the last
book. Oh, no, I got the last one. This is my third one. I've done Conan and Action. Now this is my third. Shazam number 3. Not because Shazam was a great book, but because I didn't read much last week. So so Shazam number 3.
I was done after the first issue.
It's all right. It's still pretty good, I think. So it breaks down like this. The kids go to the Rock of Eternity.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't like how they just like brought in the kids and all the kids had superpowers.
Right.
And they were all kind of like dumb and still acting kids. A little weird.
So they're all there at the Rock of Eternity and they're kind of like cleaning up the place and doing, I don't really know why they're hanging out there. And,
yeah, well, you know, the
scrubbing the toilets.
The wizard can't like do as much as he used to. What?
No, he's dead. He didn't do anything. He's
getting on in age.
And while they're there, they go into like a room that they've not been into before, and they discover a working subway car, which has got one of 7 tunnels it can go to, except one of them has been boarded up. And so that one you can't go to, but there's still 6 or 5, excuse me, because they come from Earth. So that's one. There are seven lands that you can get to from the Rock of Eternity. And those, so there are the Earth lands. That's where Billy and them are from.
Wait, is this like the, was it the World Tree?
Similar.
Is one a fairyland and one's a, all
right,
land, so, a giant frost giant?
Well, it's not those worlds, but other worlds.
Svartalheim with all the fire and brimstone.
So there's the Earthlands, and that would be Midgard. That's where the humans are from. And then there's the Funlands, the Wazanderlands, the Wazanderlands. There's a Z in the middle of that for some reason. The Wildlands, the Monsterlands, the Darklands, the Game Lands, and that's it, and the Fun Lands.
The Itty Bitty Lands.
So they all go down there, and they're like, and of course, Mary's a stick in the butt. She's like, we shouldn't be messing with this. We don't know what any of this is about. And everybody's like, oh, come on, Mary, you're stupid. We need to go investigate. It's our job to take care of this place and figure out what all this is. And so they all kind of vote, and they vote Mary out. But she goes reluctantly. And they say, well, we should go to like the least threatening sounding one, which is the Fun Land. So they go to the Funlands, and it turns out it's like a big amusement park where everything that you could possibly want is there. Roller coasters, cotton candy, popcorn,
you know, I saw
games.
The movie when it was called Pinocchio.
and everything's free. You don't have to pay for anything.
I said Pinocchio.
And you just have fun, right? You get as much as you want as anything. You soda pop, candy, stuff that's bad for you. And it's, the place is run.
And they all turn into donkeys.
No, that doesn't happen. But the place is run by this kid who's perpetually a kid. His name is King Kid. He calls himself King Kid because he wears like a hat and a robe. And he's got a scepter.
Is he related to King Creole?
And so basically, I don't know. The gist of it is like he rules his land for kids. And kids can come there and kids can have all the fun they want. And they can do anything they want. And everybody's party all the time, right? So they all go and they all are having a blast. And he starts talking to them about, you know, their powers and stuff and about the Rock of Eternity. And he wants them to share the power with him that they share amongst each other, add him to their family so that he can go out and be in the Rock of Eternity and help take care of it.
You can't be King Shazam.
And so they're like, well, I'll tell you what. We'll think about it, but we're going to have to go home. He goes, what do you mean go home? Well, yeah, our mom and our dads are missing us. You know, parents aren't allowed here. Well, we're not bringing them here. We're going to them. He said, no, parents aren't allowed, period. And he won't let them go. They're captured. And so they end up running from him, and they all, at this point, they're in their little kid form. And so they all do the Shazam thing, and they turn into the major, you know, adult superheroes that their counterparts are. And he goes, what? You've lied. You're not children. You're adults in disguise. And so he attacks them. And as he attacks them, they all get, like, sucked into portals and wormholes and things like that and end up in some other of the lands. And so one of them shows up in what looks kind of like Tron, and this is the Game Lands. And so for I don't know what adventure they'll have to go on to get out of there.
Are they all locked in the Wreck-It Ralph
universe? I don't know.
This is the shooter, Roland.
And two of the kids...
This is the racing one.
And two of the kids get sucked into the Wildlands where there are anthropomorphic animals running around in cop uniforms. So I imagine that this is, since we've rebooted this comic and started over... I imagine this is where Talkie Tawny's going to be from.
Probably.
And so...
And the Monster Society of Evil will be the Monster Lands, right?
Yeah, probably. And that's where Mr. Mind, they'll encounter him. So it says, next month in Shazam, into the Wild Lands, into the Game Lands, and the Secret of King Kid. So it's not great, but it's fun. And the art by Dale Eaglesham is beautiful. And
well, that's why I like the Terrifics, because he was doing the art in that
book. And so it there are worse comics on the shelves. It's not fantastic, but it's not bad.
It's not great. It's not perfect.
I've read worse. Doomsday Clock, Heroes in Crisis, things like that. All right, Charlie, that's it for our regular books. Do you have anything to add to that?
No.
All right, Alternate Reality will be back in just a moment, bringing you the very best in comic-related information, news, reviews, previews, so forth and so on, anywhere on the internet. Set tight. We'll be right back.
Oh, Oh, yes. I hate this. It is revolting.
More?
Please.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We've had a fantastic time spending some time with you this evening. We've enjoyed it. We love, you know, being with our listeners and having them engage with us. And there are a number of ways that you can do that past just listening to the show. I mean, that's great. We want you to just listen to the show. But we want more engagement. We want more interaction with you. So the first thing you need to do is head over to the website, arnetcast.podomatic.com, where you can see this episode and a bunch of previous episodes. You can listen to your pick or your choice or all of, or download them manually on your computer or smartphone or iPod or whatever you listen to stuff on. And that's a cool way if you do that. There's also links to our RSS feed and things like that for you to put it in whatever podcatching service that you use. So arnetcast.podomatic.com is the website address for now. One of these days we may get a more professional website, but for now that's good enough. Contact us, please, on email, aldenoralitypodcast@gmail.com. That's aldenoralitypodcast, all one word, no hyphens, spaces, periods, or anything like that. aldenoralitypodcast@gmail.com. Please send us an email and we'll read and respond to it on the air. Or if you send if you record a voice audio message on a WAVE file and then you attach it to an email and send it to us, then we'll listen to that and respond to it on the air. So we would be anxious to do that. We want to answer your questions live. It would be so much fun. As I mentioned earlier, Patreon's out there. If you want to support the show financially, we would really, really appreciate that. Patreon.com/alternate reality. You can join at the $3 a month level, $10 a month level, or the $20 a month level, whatever's comfortable, whatever fits your budget. We don't want you to strain yourself for our sake, but if you could find it in your heart to help the alternate reality mission, then that's something we hope you would think about doing. We're on iTunes, clearly, and if you wanted to help us out, you could go over to iTunes and write a review and give us a rating. We prefer 5-star ratings and glowing reviews, so please submit those. When you do that, you increase our awareness on the iTunes store, so that when people search for podcasts, they find us more readily and more easily, and that, that's good for us and ultimately good for you as we grow our listenership. And we want you to interact with us on social media, and social media is a thing, and everybody's on it. So twitter.com/John Lovelace for me. There's no H in my name, by the way, in case you were misspelling that over the years. Twitter.com/.
Yeah, because that's the reason you don't have.
That's the reason I don't have a lot of followers, is everybody was typing J-O-H-N and it's just J-O-N. Now you'll see my numbers skyrocket. Twitter.com/XOnslaught, just like it sounds, for Charlie. And Twitter.com/AR_podcast for Alternate Reality Podcast. Twitter.com/AR_podcast. Of course, we're all on the Facebook, me, Charlie, and the show. You just kind of have to search for us over there.
Who's the show?
Huh?
Who's the show?
Who's the show? What?
What did you just say?
We're on the Facebook, me, Charlie, and the show.
Yeah. Well, who's the show?
The show is the show.
Is he going to take over for me?
The big show. He's a wrestler. Yeah, he might. Yeah, that might be more interesting if he did. So we're all on the Facebook. We have very public profiles. Just search for us. You should find us over there. And as always, Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. You can check out the network over at Comics with an S, Podcast with an S, double plural, comicspodcast.com. Then you can see us as well as a bunch of other really cool members of the network over there. Listen to their shows and see what you think about them. Maybe find something new to listen to instead of just us all the time. And you should check those guys out. Those are nice guys over there. Anything to add to that, Mr. Huffman?
No.
Then we are out. It's been another fantastic episode. It is in the books. It is in the can. That does it. Until next time. And in the meantime, my name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we are out. Have a good night.
But I'm a creep, I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't belong here.
What more? I didn't think we were doing anything more.
We normally add to it.
You know, it's kind of like when you go to Long John's and you get like a 3-piece fish and more. You get fries and slaw. Do we get fries and slaw? That'd be awesome. All right.
Long John's. When's the last time you ate a Long John's?
Recently.
Really?
Yeah, I like fish. And like especially fish too, greasy but I fish. Go to Where do you eat fish from?
I'd rather have her from Captain D's, but to be truthful, that's not great either.
Yeah, I've never liked Captain D's. I ate Captain D's once as a kid and got sick and I never eat there again.
But yet you go to Long John's, which has a long, steady reputation of making people sick.
Never made me sick, not one time.
That's like I don't understand all those people who eat at Chipotle. I'm like, you do know people get sick on a monthly basis eating that stuff, right? Go to Qdoba.
I don't go to either one of those places.
They're good. Qdoba, they make these big old burritos like this.
You know, Mexican food is fine. I just don't tend to eat a lot of it. I did eat Taco Bell today, so I'm proud of myself. And my wife will make tacos here at the house from time to time. But that's I don't authentic Mexican food has a lot of onions and peppers and stuff in it. It's just not my thing.
Well, theoretically, authentic Mexican food is kind of bland.
Really?
Yes. Why? It's normally a lot of that.
What do you know about it?
What are you talking about?
Well, have you been to Mexico?
No, but what? I had Spanish in high school, and we did.
I think I did, too.
Mexican meals.
I don't remember cooking anything in Spanish class. Maybe we did. I don't know.
No, I'm saying people would bring stuff in, like for extra credit.
Okay, whatever. I don't remember eating anything in Spanish class. Okay.
And then that time we went to Chi-Chi's, which is...
Is that authentic Mexican food?
Well, it was based on authentic Mexican food, but that stuff was bland, too.
I don't think any kind of fast food chain is authentic Mexican food.
But that's what I'm saying. I think Chi-Chi's was close enough, more close than...
I never ate there, so
Taco Bell.
Everybody knows Taco Bell's not authentic Mexican
food. Well, what I'm saying is most spices and stuff added to Mexican food is an American-like thing.
So most Mexican food doesn't have onions and peppers in it?
Not normally, no.
All right. I glance over here at the camera to see if Francis has got anything to say about that. So I'm not from Mexico, so I don't know.
Well, I'm not either.
I just know I don't like onions and peppers, and they tend to work their way into so much of what I try to eat. And I just, would not hurt my feelings if there was never another onion grown on the face of the planet.
But that's the thing. At Qdoba, you can make your own burritos.
Yeah, well.
I normally don't
see
anything super spicy anyway because I don't like spicy stuff.
See, and a mutual acquaintance of ours that we neither one talk too much anymore was all about going to a place called Moe's.
Yeah.
And he would go on and on and on and on. He took me one time.
Get to Moe's.
And I was unimpressed.
Yeah, I think Moe's is kind of like the upscale. Like the most modernized version of Chi-Chi's.
Okay. Again, it's just not my thing. I'm an Italian kind of guy. I'm the other end of the spectrum. You know, if there's an opposite food from Mexican, I think it's Italian. So that's, you know, that's just how I feel. I love pasta. All right. But
too bad pasta doesn't love you back.
But no onions in my pasta sauce.
You know.
Oh, wait, Francis. I think this is delayed because I asked this a few seconds ago. He's just now replying. Francis said, if you want authentic Mexican food, make a Mexican friend. He'll invite you to a family party and you'll feast on authentic Mexican made by Mexican grandmas. Okay.
Well, I used to work with them.
And so the problem with being in central Kentucky is that there's not a ton of Mexican people around here.
Not where you live.
No. Okay. Not where I live. True.
But where I live...
You got several in your area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know any of them well enough to go over to eat at their house?
No.
You should make a friend.
But when I worked at Amazon, some of them were very nice, and they brought food in.
I do see some at work. I sell car insurance. I do see some at work.
You don't see them at work. They come and buy insurance.
Well, yeah, and they have to come see me to do that.
Yeah, but you're saying that, like, hey, they work with me.
That's, no, they come to shop for insurance from me. Yeah. So there's a whole gamut. There is the ones that come in and they can't speak any English, so they bring somebody with them.
Yeah.
And then occasionally there's the ones that speak a little English, so he's trying to wing it, and I'm having real difficulty, but we managed to get through the thing. And then there's the ones that have really, really assimilated really well and speak English really fluently. And so either they've grown up here or they were from California or someplace like that, and they were, you know, English speaking there or something. Yeah.
Don't your applications have Spanish?
Spanish what?
Options?
No.
Really?
No.
You think they would?
The company that I work for is a small company. We're not a national chain.
What I'm saying is, as long as you don't say anything bad, I don't think.
Right. But so, you know, like, if you call our home office in Louisville, there, I don't know that there's any option for Spanish speaking translation or anything like that. I don't think there is.
I don't know.
I'd have to double check that, but I don't think there is.
I'm pretty sure they have to.
I'm just saying, I don't think
at least just for Mexican.
I don't think it's a prompt
for Spanish
in the phone menu. I think if you got on the phone with customer service and said no habla inglés, they may be able to get somebody, but it's not a prompt in the phone menu, is all I'm saying.
It just seems a little weird that your applications and stuff wouldn't have Spanish.
Well, they don't never see the application. I fill the application out. And then I hand it to them and tell them to sign it. You know, we don't trust people to fill out their own insurance forms. They don't know what they're doing. They'll sign up for coverage they don't need. Cost us tons of money when they have a claim. No. We do all that ourselves.
Was it you tax people are so professional. You're almost like IRS tax fillers and tax filers.
All right, let's do a show intro in 3, 2, 1.
I did a show intro.
No, you did a cold open. Oh. This is an intro.
Okay.
Show intro in 3, 2, 1.